Morning. You know, I got to say a couple things before I really get started. Leslie, I love your heart. I love it with all my heart. You are not afraid to sing songs this time of year. And amen. Because what I want to tell you is this is the great opportunity this time of the year when people's hearts and minds are open. That is an opportunity that we can share the truth. We can share what it really means for Christ to be born. And let us not be afraid of it. Let us not shy from it. And let us, like Wesley did this morning, let us embrace it and take that opportunity. The other thing is, you know, we have our little ornament passing next Sunday. You know what? I encourage you this morning, not only bring an ornament, but bring a friend. So we can show them what Christ is all about. It's another opportunity that they may not see at a normal Church of Christ, let's be honest. When we come in afterwards and pass out ornaments and talk about Jesus in that way. That's an opportunity to show the love we have for Him. And share that with a friend. So I encourage you not only to bring an ornament, a weird ornament, but to bring a friend. And it can be a weird friend. Who knows? Who knows what kind of relationships you have? But don't be afraid to do that. All right, we're still going in this journey. This journey we've been going on for 5 sermons now. This is lesson number 5. And I told you last week, this is where it gets hard. It's simple, but it gets hard. This is where we struggle as Christians a lot of times. Now, number 5, we're developing a good personal relationship with the Lord. You know, that's kind of difficult. Because it's easy to have a relationship with our wives and our husbands and our children and our friends because they're physically there. It's easy to make that bond because we are interacting with them each and every day. The concepts I'm going to go over today work with any relationships, how to better that relationship. But sometimes us physically not being able to see God, physically as a physical person, sometimes it's difficult for us because we kind of forget about it. We go on our everyday lives. We get up in the morning, well, it's time to go to work. We go to work and we do our daily work. And we come home, we got to fix dinner and we got to take care of the children or we got to have that interaction. And God kind of get left over here somewhere. Oh, yeah, let's bring Him in. And a lot of times, and we'll talk about it next week, we kind of bring Him in when things are falling apart. And that's when we turn to God. But so how do we do that? How do we build a better relationship with God? I got something at the end of this lesson. It's a part of the lesson. It's special. And we'll talk more about that when at time. But number 3, I got something that I want to share with you this morning. But the first key into a good relationship, and it's vital to any relationship, and especially when it comes to God, is listening. So often my wife will tell me to hush, because when she brings me a problem, so often I want to fix it. So when she's saying something, I'll kind of interrupt her, and she'll say, hold on a second. Listen. And then I have to step back and listen so she knows that I appreciate her thoughts and what she has to say. It's no different with our relationship with God. There's so many times that we interrupt God. We interrupt Him with our daily lives. We interrupt Him with how we speak and how we act because we think we know what's best. We want to fix it the way we want to fix it. But in Psalms, it tells us, in verse 62, verse 5, it tells us this. My soul waits silently for God alone. My soul waits silently for God alone. Listen. For my expectation is from Him. That's the other thing that we got to realize. We got to listen, because what is expected from us in our daily lives comes from Him. And if we don't listen, we're going to miss out on all His expectations, all the great things He has prepared for us, because we got to realize and understand that everything He gives us is for our best. It's for our good. It's for to better our life. He has nothing that's bad. So we should be willing and wanting to hear what He has to say. We all know this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. There's a difference from I hear you to listening. You know, when we get frustrated and with somebody, so often we'll say, I hear you. Yeah, your ears are working fine, but your brain's not working in between the ears. It's the problem. Because you're not listening to what we have to say. And I think God gets so frustrated with us as Christians at times that He's speaking, and we hear you, Lord, but we're not listening to what He has to say. Because that's where you start that relationship, and when you're willing to listen. He replies in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God. He doesn't stop there, does he? Those hear the word of God, but obey it. Because if you hear the word of God and you obey it, that means you listen to what He had to say. You are willing to have enough care and love for Him that you appreciate what He has to say. So you have to be willing to not only hear, but listen and follow through with obedience. We must obey God rather than men. Oh, that's so hard. We all have our opinions. And I'm probably one of the ones that's famous for giving my opinion. You know, I tell them at work all the time, there's a couple things you can know about me. I tell them I have broad shoulders, I take responsibility, but you'll always know where I stand. I'll always tell you what I feel when I talk to my boss and talk to their bosses. I always tell them that. You'll know where I stand because I'm going to tell you my opinion. Then I'm going to salute and execute because I could work in the military. I know how the environment. I know how that works. But they're going to hear me. But so often, we pay attention to men rather than God. Look at where the world's going today. In all the different directions, what is common sense is no longer common sense anymore. The way we live our lives is no longer the same it was 10 years ago because all men have been involved and ruined this world. And that's what we need to understand. What's wrong with this world is not God, and we can't blame God. It's us. It's the men who are involved in this world that are making these changes and changing these directions. Tolerance and all this other stuff that they bring in. And you see where we're at in the world today. And that's listening to men rather than God. You know, this was read earlier. And it says this. And I used the NIV and I gave him the NIV version because I want you to listen to what it has to say. Especially at the beginning. All Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. Knock the breath out of you one time and see how much speaking you can do. And then when we look at it from the perspective that this is God-breathed, it comes to us in a different mindset. That God is literally speaking to us. And that's what we need to understand. When we read God's Scriptures, He's speaking to each and every one of us. And it's used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that the servant of God, that's us, the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good, what? Works. His expectations from us and what He's trying to tell us, there's a lot of work that we need to get accomplished. That we're here only temporary. That this world is only temporary. So when we are here and when we are living our daily lives, we should be working daily for God. But let's be honest with ourselves. As we live through our daily lives, and like I said earlier, as we go to work and do our daily things, we're so often doing our work and not God's work. And the very purpose that we are here each and every day, we should have an influence as those people that we work with every day. Those people we gather with every day, our family. Those neighbors we see every day. We should be every opportunity doing God's work. And this is what Scripture does for us. It makes us thoroughly equipped to do so. That we're able to do His work each and every day. There should be no aspect of our lives that we don't have an influence on somebody when it comes to God's work. It kind of throws us in the back corner over there for a little bit. But if we start to listen, we also got to remember, because we're doing God's work, it's not hard work, because we get paid well. When you look at how He blesses us through day to day, as we were talking about earlier, how we're blessed to be able to be here this morning, be able to get up this morning, and all the things that we have, our clothes and our vehicles and food and our houses, He blesses us very well. He pays us very well. And I'm telling you, you've heard me say it before, the retirement's out of this world. What we got coming is absolutely incredible. But that's, we got to listen to what God has. At the end of the day, if we do our work, we're going to get our work at the end of the day. And that's not going to be a pretty sight. If we do God's work, we're going to get His reward at the end of the day. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. The only way you're going to hear God's voice and know His voice is get to know it. You can imagine when you had kids growing up. I remember my kids. When I heard my child scream, I knew that was my child. And then when we hear God's scriptures, or somebody says, the Bible says, we may not know, be able to point out the verse, chapter, and book, but we can be able to say, I know God's voice. And that's not right, or yes, that you are right on that. And the only way you can do that is to be in His Word and listen to His voice on a regular basis. That's the only way you're going to know the shepherd's voice. The sheep, when the shepherd called, you know, there was more than one shepherd out there, but the sheep knew their shepherd's voice. And that's the way we need to be to develop that relationship with God. You know, I used this last Sunday, and I told you it was one. I just love this verse. To get to know God's voice takes this. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and whose law he meditates day and night. He meditates on it day and night. You become familiar with your Father's voice. And that's what we need to do to have that good relationship. We need to know what our Father expects from us. Growing up as a child, I knew what my Father expected. And I knew the consequences when I didn't follow Him. That's the way we need to be. And it takes effort and work. You know, not only do you got to listen, but you got to spend alone time with the Lord. So often we get busy in our daily lives, we don't make time for God, and I'm not just talking about on Sunday. I'm not just talking about coming here this morning and say, this is our time with the Lord. I'm talking about one-on-one time. I'm talking about how you make a husband and wife relationship work time, one-on-one time. How do you make a relationship with your kids work? Some of that one-on-one time. You need to make that to have that better relationship with God. Because when Psalms 143 tells us, He hears my prayers, O Lord. You want Him to be able to be listening to your prayers. So we listen to God, we got to do some talking with God. Rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians tells us, 5:16 through 18. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God, Christ Jesus, concerning you. That He wants you to tell Him everything that's going on in your life. When something good happens, He wants to hear about it. When something good happens at work, He wants to know about it. When something good happens in a relationship with others, He wants to hear your voice. But He also wants to know when you're struggling, when you're mad, when you're angry in whatever situation. He wants to hear about it. He wants to be the one you turn to first. Because He wants to help you. He wants that relationship. You know, Rush used to say, we want that the cool of the day relationship with God in the garden. Can you imagine that? I think about that all the time, to be able to be there and see God in the cool of the day. But do you realize that you can have that? We get so wrapped up in the storms of life. We get so wrapped up in our family and work that we miss the cool of the day relationship. God hasn't gone anywhere. He's still right there saying, I'm here. But so often we miss out on the cool of the day relationship because we don't carry that to Him like we should. The Lord is near to all who call Him. I like that. The Lord is near. Do you feel like at times in life when you're having so many going against you, there's times when Kim won't listen to me? I got something going on in my mind and she's got other issues going on and she, or my kids won't listen to me or my coworkers won't listen to me. And you feel like, man, nobody's listening to me. But the Lord is near to all who call Him. In Psalms 145:18, to all who call Him in truth. To know that you have a friend that is right there ready and waiting for you. All you got to do is call them. But so often we don't. This is the confidence in 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. Confidence in approaching God? Sometimes that's a concept to go, you know, I'm a little nervous to approach God. He knows my sins. I can't hide nothing from Him. So sometimes in my life, I'm nervous. But I should have the confidence to approach God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He hears us. All we got to do is have the confidence realizing if it's along God's will, remembering God's will takes care of us. Remembering God's will always looks out for our best interest. Remembering God's will is to make sure you prosper and live a long life. That He hears us. But so often we miss those opportunities. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourself to prayer. You know, being watchful, realizing that there's so many things out there that are trying to get us. Satan is constantly working to try to work against us. So when we devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful, we're watching out for it. But most of all, thankful for what God has done for us, as we talked about earlier. So we got to listen. We got to talk to the Lord. But there's more to that. Serving God by serving others. How's that work? How are we serving God when we're serving others? Sometimes that might seem like a concept that doesn't really fit. But you think about it. If somebody takes care of my child, does something to look at and does something for my child, it brings me so much excitement. And then I have that special relationship that you have enough love for my child that you and care enough about me that you're going to take care of my child. Same way with God. Because we're all God's children. All of us in here and all those out there. So when you serve others, you're serving God. You're developing that relationship with God. Do James chapter 2, 15 and 16 says this right quick, and we're going to read a little bit more here in just a second. If a brother or sister is poor, clothed, and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they need for their body, what good is that? What good is that? How much are we really taking care of those who are in need? Let's go back, and if you... Yeah, y'all can see that. You can't see it from back there. Let's go back to chapter verse 14, and I want to read through verse 24. What good is it, my brother or sister, if someone claims to have faith but has no deed? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister who is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to them, go in peace and keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accomplished by actions, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deed. Show me your faith without your deed, and I will show you my faith by my deed. You believe there is one God. Good! Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deed is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith made it complete by what he did. And the scriptures was fulfilled to say, Abraham believed God. I like that phrase. Out of Russ's book, Abraham believes God. And it was credited to him as righteous. And he was called God's friend. But what he did and what we do for others, what they're telling us in scriptures, when we do those acts for others, we're going to be called God's friend. That's just, to me, is, I can't think of a better thing to be called in life. And it's not directly towards God. It's taking care of his children in here and out there. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, not by faith alone. It's incredible how we can build our relationship by what we do for others. Now, I told you this is not easy, and Tom's going to go ahead and get it set up for you here. What I'm about to show you is about a 9-minute video about serving. And when I say it's not easy, what I want you to do this morning is I want you to put yourselves in these men's positions. Because what they've done for a period of time, and it's not for a short period of time, their servant was for a while. And one of the things that you'll see as you watch the video, there's nothing easy at all about it. Serving God is not, it's simple, but at times it's very difficult. And so going to live in our daily lives, and we kind of miss things as opportunities we have, the big impact. Serving others, as you'll see in this video here shortly, will show you that it not only helps those who you serve, but it ends up helping you in the very end. Tom, you want to blow that to the full screen? And then I want to say just a couple more things afterwards. So take an opportunity and watch this video.
Would you be willing to do it? servitude. This is a story about Kathy, and it takes place over 3,000 nights, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, has been going on for over 10 years, and it's changed the life of more people like me. To be brutally honest, it was a hard thing for me to be excited about. It was more of a burden than anything.
I was in Dr. Nord's office, my neurologist, and he proceeded to tell me I had multiple sclerosis. And I looked at my husband and I said, did you just hear what the doctor said? It's documented proof that I am one in a million. We've been married 16 and a half years. I assumed my husband was okay with it. And I think that it may have been too much of his mind thinking things were going to get worse. It hurt tremendously. Throughout the divorce proceedings, I went from walking with one cane to having two canes, and then I had to use a wheelchair.
Kathy has lived in this home in this neighborhood for a long time. In order to stay in her home, she had to have help getting in bed at night. She was able to get out of her wheelchair and put herself into bed. Her boys carried the burden prior to us coming in full time and lifting her into bed, and it just became a lot of work for her boys. They would come in the mornings and help her out of bed.
We got together as friends, neighbors, and a church group. We told her that we were here and that we had 40 or 50 men who were willing to come in every single night, night after night.
Helping Kathy in bed itself, it's a little bit weird. It was awkward.
You know, I'm kind of phobia around sick people. At first, I'm kind of like, I think that's why I was so skipped when they said, just toss her. I'm like, okay. And of course, we're not supposed to do it that way. She went about, you know, halfway across the room and down in her bed. So it's not just throwing somebody in bed and see that. There's a process to it.
Two guys left in the neighborhood, arrived at the door.
Hear him out, ring the doorbell, he yells, come on in.
And she always wants to talk with you, Kathy. We'll talk to your ear off.
Kathy knows how to talk. You can't have a short conversation with Kathy.
You walk down the hall, down to her bedroom, get the bed ready, pull off her slippers. You have to choose the side you want to be on.
Each of us put a hand on the back and underneath her legs and just walk this. And the straight out, move forward and dance around the chair a little bit.
Try to gently set her in the bed.
And then the fun begins. She's very particular about how she has got to be set up in that bed.
And then you have to sit Kathy up, move the pillows 100 different times, lay her back down.
What it looks like, she couldn't be more uncomfortable. That's when you got the thumbs up and everything is okay.
And then the fun part starts with parking the motorized wheelchair.
You make sure that she's got her phone,
the position of her canes, so she can easily reposition herself at night.
So have her water, some pills, make sure that the wheelchair is plugged in, turn off the lights, and lock the door, and you're done. We were approached that we would maybe have a 2 or 3 month assignment.
I felt sympathetic to the situation, but I felt like, you know, I've got other things I need to deal with.
First of all, but, oh, I don't have the time, and how long can it last? When's the end? You know, how long are we going to have to be doing this? Can't we get a lift in there in the church? We would talk about this assignment, and it was the topic all the time, largely brought up by me, by others in our group that were being asked to do it all the time.
We all try to think of different ways that we could help Kathy get into bed without us having to come over every single night.
It was a burden, to be honest. In those discussions, one person in particular said, you know, I don't see an end in the foreseeable future. Even if we get her a lift, she can't put herself in the lift. That's not an answer to the problem. He said, if you're not willing to do it, and if there's those who are not willing to do it, I will do it myself every night if I have to. And so really it's at that time when I think I had a change of heart. When I had to take a look at myself, my own spirituality, my own conviction, I was nowhere near where I should have been. And I decided to change. And kind of had the same attitude that I have, that this has got to be a quick thing, and I've got other things, and I'm busy. I remember he got really quiet when we went in and looked her in the bed. And I remember we came out front, big burly guy, just in tears as he left the home. He turned around, he voiced me, he's like, I can't believe it. I thought that this was a burden.
He now realized too that I started to get to know Kathy. She's taken such a interest in my family.
He can come and he lifts me into the bed by himself.
It's kind of driven me to be able to stay fit and stay strong for Kathy. When I go to the gym, I do deadlifts, but I call them Kathy lifts.
At first, I felt I was taken away from their families. I didn't want to be a burden. And I honestly didn't think it would last for very long, and I thought it would just be maybe 10 times, and then we were done.
Been going on for over 7 years. When I come over now, it's just like tucking one of my own kids into bed. I feel like she's part of my family now, and I asked her if we can say a family prayer as we put her to bed before we left.
Yeah. It's interesting, the dichotomy between healing the body and healing the soul. When we heal the body, it's always an inward effort. We're always paying attention to ourselves. When we heal the soul, turning inward doesn't work. The triage of the soul is found in turning it outward to other people. Every time I've gone to Kathy's home and dealt with her, it feels like it heals a part of my soul.
Really, it's genius how Christ has laid this out for us. As one helps the other helps the other back.
I've seen an even greater compassion. It's let me know that I'm not forgotten.
That I'm still valued, not only to God, but I have words to give other people in different ways.
You know, I was in a point where I was at my lowest and just not feeling like I was maybe worth anything or I was falling short. I needed healing. And pastoral service does, it heals us. She's lifted me in so many ways. This was that opportunity to serve one of his children. I never realized what that meant until I had this experience with him.
The more we serve our fellow men in appropriate ways, the more substance there is to our souls. We become more substantive. As we serve others, indeed, it's easier to find ourselves because there's so much more of us to find.
That was hard. You can imagine what they've been going on for all this time frame to make sure one is taken care of every night, 365 days a year. Christmas, Thanksgiving, family events. I gotta go go lift our sister up. It's simple, but it's not easy. So what I want to put in your hearts this morning, a thought about it. I know, and I look around at our congregation, the size of our congregation, and I look around to see our age of our congregation. You know, one of the phrases I always say is when somebody asks me, how you doing today? I'm doing all right for an old man. Yeah, I've heard that a lot. Yeah. But what can we do? You know, I think of, the different people in our congregation who are at home right now. We have Ray and Betty and Brother Campbell and all those that are home. Judy Foster and Nancy and Judy Taylor and Walter. And there's so many more. Gene Dixon. We could go on all morning long, Jerry was saying this morning, he said, man, look at how many we have on our lists this morning. And I go, Lord, put that in his heart. Because we have an opportunity. Shirley, which I know she's listening and watching because she texts me after every sermon. Shirley and Maurice are stuck at home. Shirley's taking care of him. And she has invited me to come over. And Shirley, I'm telling you right now, because I know you're watching, I'm coming over to visit with y'all. But I want us to put on our hearts, maybe we can do this as a group. Every Sunday, pick somebody, and a few of us go together and go visit some of these ones that are shut in. And that will make it easier because, you know, sometimes we don't know what to say. If I go by myself, I'll just feel like I'll be sitting there and not know what to say or talk for. But if we come together as a group, maybe two, three, four at a time, and those who are off during the day go visit, and those who can't do it the daytime, maybe the nighttime, and we go as representing as a congregation to visit these people and sit down with these people. We ain't got to do nothing. We ain't got to go preach to anybody or teach to anybody. All we got to do is serve. Maybe sit down and have some coffee and cookies. Bring the cookies and bring the coffee and have a little time to show them that they have value to us. Because they definitely have value to God. And that's not only going to take care of them, as you saw in the video, it will take care of us. And maybe we could expand that as we go along and you've got a neighbor and say, I don't know how to talk to my neighbor. Ask your neighbor, hey, a couple of my friends come over and just visit. Maybe not right off the bat tell them how wrong they are, but tell them how much we love them. And share with them a relationship. And they'll say, hey, there's something different going on there. There's something different with those people at Edge Hill. They're not coming here to throw the Bible at me. They're coming here just to see how I am. And we can gather on Sundays and pick somebody and say, you pick a couple of people and let's go visit those who are shut in. Those who we know that we're close to as friends and neighbors. Hey, I'm having a little thing at the house and just a few of us to show up together and just show them and talk to them and show them that somebody cares. I think as small as this congregation is, as the older as this congregation is, that we can still make a huge impact. Because in our weakness, God is glorified. So you look around. This morning is a good example of how thin we are. But these thin groups of people are more than the 12 of the disciples, right? And look at the impact they had. A small group who loves and cares can make a world of difference. I don't know where you're at right now in life. I'm telling you right now, we're 5 lessons into this journey. And I know some of my sermons in the last few months have been exciting, you know. And I've been a little boisterous and showing them my little bit of excitement going on. But it's like when you work out and you start to lose that weight, you're excited about it. You're starting to see the results. I think in my life, I'm starting to see some of the results that I want. So I get excited about it. And I'm just trying to share that excitement. Just try to share what God led me. And hopefully, y'all can find a piece of what I'm doing and apply it to your life. But I don't know where you're at. I know where this congregation is. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we're going to talk about prayer in depth in my next sermon. I'm excited about that one because I got that one finished up yesterday. So I'm really excited about that one. But we're going to talk about that relationship and go in a deeper talk about prayer. But the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and that's what we have here. We have good elders, good leaders. So as a congregation, we can do this together. So if you're struggling with something, you have something on your heart, you need to let something go, this is the best place in the world to do it, right here, with these people, God's people, righteous people. Jerry is an elder of this congregation, will lead you in a prayer, and and it avails a whole lot. If you got, because God's listening. Remember, He's waiting right there for us. Remember that verse we read earlier? So all you got to do is come up here now as we stand and sing.